and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. The country's latest school shooting happened today in Madison, Wisconsin.
I think we can all agree that enough is enough.
Police Chief Sean Barnes.
Three people are dead, including the suspect shooter. We know that the suspect shooter was a teenage student who attended the school.
A law enforcement official tells CBS News the suspect used a 9mm pistol. Several people are hospitalized.
Six other people were injured. Two students are now in critical condition in the hospital. And these injuries are considered life-threatening injuries.
Reporter Adam Reif on the investigation.
Who may have helped this person, what type of writings they had online. They're also going to look at some of the security video as well, whether it's outside or inside, and see how this person was able to get in.
Nearly 400 students attend the private school. CBS News Special Report. I'm Cammy McCormick.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's Savannah Tolmay Olson with an update from Madison.
It's a sad day for all of us in Madison. Three people are dead after a school shooting on the east side. One, a teacher, another, a student, and a third, the teenage shooter. Six people were taken to the hospital, all of them students. Two of them are in critical condition. Madison Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway.
This is an incredibly sad day for our community. There is no danger to the community at this time, but our entire community has been impacted by this tragic incident. The most important thing right now is to make sure that we are centering the victims and their families, and that we are doing whatever we can to support them and to help them heal and to lift our entire community up through this difficult incident.
Madison police say they got the call for an active shooter at Abundant Life Christian School just before 11 a.m. It's a small K-12 school. They have fewer than 400 students and serve about 200 Madison area families. Police Chief Sean Barnes.
Many of you have asked me about the why of this. Why did this happen? What do we know? What was the motivation? I do not know. But I will tell you this. Our detectives are working hard in the investigative process to find out as many answers as we can so that we can further prevent these things from happening, not only in this community, but in other communities around our country.
Local officials say now supporting family members and anyone impacted by this tragedy is the top priority. Students in the Madison Metropolitan School District will have resources available to them and their families. Officials say anyone struggling should call 988 for help.
I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Packers win in Seattle.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports.
The Packers beat the Seahawks 30-13. It's the first time they've won in Seattle since 2008.
Head coach Matt LaFleur praised the defense after the win.
Our team effort, especially our defense, I thought they played a really good game. You know, for four quarters, got constant pressure on the quarterback, got a couple takeaways.
Rookie linebacker Edgerrin Cooper had five tackles, a quarterback sack, and his first NFL career interception after missing the last three games with a hamstring injury.
No, I was very hungry to get back out there and do what I did, and thank for my teammates and doing their job.
Women's college volleyball, the Wisconsin Badgers lost to Nebraska yesterday in three straight sets. The Badgers have reached the regionals 12 years in a row.
Just proud of the people that they've become and the players they've become and how they've grown as a team. And I think they've represented their university and their community and the state of Wisconsin.
That's Badgers head coach Kelly Sheffield with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Hi, this is Beth, your new host for The Kitchen is Open, the award-winning show within the morning show. Each Monday morning at 9 a.m., we'll tackle topics, teach techniques, and tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners with insight on what it takes to make it in the food industry. Listen as I work with James, Seth, and others as we learn, laugh, and have fun. The Kitchen is Open. Same kitchen, new host.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight to a low in the mid-20s. A cloudy sky for tomorrow with snow showers in the late afternoon and evening. Highs in the low 30s. Mostly cloudy and mid-20s for highs Wednesday. More snow showers Wednesday night and Thursday. Currently it's 37.
It's time, everybody, for Civic Media's statewide grown-up gift list text to win contest. I'm about to give you a keyword that you're going to text to us through the Civic Media app. You get that to us and you have a chance at winning $100 cash or overnight getaway to Chula Vista Resorts right here in the Wisconsin Dells. Our last one for the day, be listening for that. And you could be one of our 8 lucky winners that gets a chance at the grand prize, a pick of any of our grown-up gift list items. That keyword to text to us through the Civic Media app is ELF. ELF. Text that to us through the Civic Media app right now and get in on the chance to win. Thank you so much to everybody who's already downloaded the app and played along. Spread that keyword to text to us for this hour. ELF. Good luck, everybody. And now be listening tomorrow for another opportunity at the top of the 7 and 11 a.m. hours and 1 and 4 o'clock hours for a chance to play along with Civic Media's statewide grown-up gift list text to win contest. Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Monday, December 16th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 4:30 today, we're going to welcome in our friend, Amy Vetter. She is with the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin. Looking forward to talking with Amy in just a little bit. Right now, we have with us on our hotline, Haley Heintzel. She is our 77th Allison Dairyland. Haley, how you doing?
Wonderful. Thank you so much for having me today.
Haley, it is always a joy for us to talk to our Allison Dairyland. We have such a blast with this one over the years and the topics we get to talk about, while also highlighting so many of the great things that Wisconsin have to offer. And this time of year, what better time than to talk about Wisconsin butter?
Absolutely. Butter definitely makes the holidays better, but I like to say you should make it the best holiday yet with Wisconsin butter.
Yeah, I agree. I could not agree more. Before we dive too deep into it, everything, Haley, you're a little newer in this position. How has it been going? Have you been enjoying yourself?
It has been really, really wonderful. I'm actually almost 6 months into the position, so it feels like I started just yesterday, but I have been going for quite some time now. I've been traveling all across Wisconsin and a little bit into the rest of the Midwest. And it's been really great to be able to represent all of Wisconsin agriculture. I've learned so much, and I've gotten to connect with so many people, students and otherwise. It's been absolutely a wonderful experience.
Really good to hear that. That's great to hear. And I imagine in your, you know, travelings and everything, one of the things you come across is certainly butter in Wisconsin. And here in Wisconsin, we are known as America's Dairyland. But what about Wisconsin's butter production? I don't think we get to talk about that very often, Haley.
Yes. So across the United States, butter is made from simple ingredients, just cream and salt. And if you buy unsalted butter, it's just 100% dairy. But here in Wisconsin, our dairy cows make sure we have plenty of cream available to keep Wisconsin's 13 butter processing plants busy, making Wisconsin one of the top 2 butter producing states. All this butter finds its way to grocery store shelves across the country, with the average American consuming 6.5 pounds of butter per year. This is actually at a 50-year high right now in the United States. Butter contributes to Wisconsin's $52.8 billion dairy industry and supports Wisconsin's dairy farmers and their families, of which 99% of dairy farms are family-owned.
Sorry, Haley, I was just buying stock in butter real quick. Like, wow, that's some really interesting numbers that I don't think a lot of us have heard before. Thank you for bringing that to us. That's really interesting. How are you using Wisconsin butter this year?
My new favorite way as Alice to use butter has been compound butters. These are a great way to elevate your next gathering and use up herbs, cheese, and more that you have in your pantry or your refrigerator. There are so many different flavor profiles to explore with compound butters at home. Whether you enjoy cranberries and spice, pear and blue cheese, or any other combinations of toppings, they are easily customizable to what you and your family like to eat. The recipe I have today is a zesty lemon and dill Havarti butter. I've been really enjoying it this holiday season.
That sounds really good.
Some ingredients. It is. It's really, really good. Some of the ingredients include softened butter, raw dill Havarti cheese, lemon zest, fresh dill, a little salt and pepper to taste, and warm bread or dinner rolls to put the butter on. Any brand of Wisconsin dill Havarti cheese can be substituted for the cheese in this recipe if you can't find the raw stuff in the grocery store. And you can serve this cheesy butter with seafood, dotted on top of potatoes, stirred into steamed veggies, or cooked pasta. The possibilities are truly endless.
When it comes to using this too, we want to remind you that these recipes and more you can find at AllisonDairyland.com, AllisonDairyland.com. We'll get that information out again before we wrap up. Now, what is the best way to buy Wisconsin this holiday season and get that real Wisconsin butter?
When you're shopping for all of your holiday dairy essentials, make sure to look for the Proudly Wisconsin Dairy badge or the number 55 on packaging to identify genuine Wisconsin dairy products. Buying local is a great way to help contribute to our local economy and support Wisconsin's farmers and small businesses. You can find great Wisconsin butter recipes and more butter tips at wisconsincheese.com/butter. Or like you said, you can head to the Allison Dairyland website at allisondairyland.com. Another really exciting thing I have going on right now on the Allison Dairyland social media channels, I'm actually doing a 12-day video series featuring tons of great dairy recipes. Some of them absolutely have butter as the star of the show, but all of them have great Wisconsin dairy products in them.
Been keeping up on that. It's great, and some great stuff and interesting stuff too. It's not your everyday recipes on there. It's really nice.
Yes, some of them are definitely out of the box, and they've been really great to try. I actually made all those videos on my Thanksgiving break. My family really enjoyed getting to try all of these different ways to explore Wisconsin dairy. I've even tried baking cookies with some cheese. You'd be surprised. They're very, very delicious. All of those butters are really wonderful. We had a great butter board that had like four or five different varieties of those compound butters. They were great for those mashed potatoes or steak or whatever you're eating with your holiday meals. So it's a great option if you're looking to add some more Wisconsin dairy to your plate this holiday season.
And Haley, I've been fortunate to get to work with, I think, the past four Alices, and each one of you guys, one of the things that stands out so wonderfully to me is the so much you know going into this topic, and then so many different things that you discover about whether it's agriculture or Wisconsin in general that you get to share with us. We really appreciate, especially just loving information in general. And there's some other stuff that has come up throughout this, so with this topic, like what it takes for real butter to be considered real butter and stuff like that.
Yes, it definitely has to be just that cream and salt. And that is actually a rule that was set in place by Congress several years ago. And that was just a really important way to regulate butter. And it does, it has to be cream from dairy cows. So that's an important thing to look out for. That's a little bit different from margarine. So butter has that 100% dairy in it, which is really wonderful. It actually takes 21 pounds or almost 2.5 gallons of milk to make just 1 pound of butter. So it's a great way to use up a lot of fluid milk as well. And if no one's tried it, making butter at home is actually super, super easy. You just have to use heavy whipping cream. You do need something that has a little bit of a higher fat content in it. So whole milk that you're going to buy in the grocery store has about 3% fat, and you're going to want something like heavy whipping cream, which has about 40% fat, which is much higher. And then you put it in a jar and you just shake it. It takes maybe 20 minutes of shaking it. It's a great activity for the kids to pass around while you're watching holiday movies. Mm-hmm. And at the end, you end up with a beautiful ball of butter that's about 80% fat. And then the remaining liquid in the jar is actually buttermilk, which can be great for baking this holiday season if you're making buttermilk biscuits or pancakes or waffles for Christmas morning. So there's lots of great ways to use Wisconsin dairy this holiday season.
And Haley, one of the things that I know has been a debate in my family many times is, do we leave the butter out? Do we put it back in? When to take it out? You've got a nice stat on that one, too.
It's really important that if you're going to leave butter out, that it is salted butter, because the salt helps keep the butter fresh, even outside of the refrigerator, provided your kitchen is kept at 70 degrees or lower, which is certainly easy in these holiday months. Once salted butter is softened, it should be used within about a week or so. But I would like to say, if you're going to be using any of those compound butter recipes, you do need to leave them in the fridge because they contain cheese. So those need to be refrigerated.
It's a great note. And as far as taking the butter out of the fridge, 30, 60 minutes, about a half an hour beforehand gives you that smooth kind of feel to it, right?
Absolutely, and it'll be ready to go at any meal you need it for. If you are looking to keep your butter fresh for much longer past the holiday season, if you overbuy on accident, you can also freeze the butter in original packaging inside resealable bags. Salted butter can freeze for up to a year, so it'll be ready to go next Christmas, or you can freeze unsalted for about 4 months.
And it was really interesting that what you mentioned about butter sales, not only being at an all-time high, but the most popular months for butter, which is interesting to me. It's such a year-round, you know, product.
Yes, but they really do peak in November and December each year as home cooks get ready with their holiday recipes to share with family and friends. In Wisconsin, retail butter sales are 39% higher than average in November and 36% higher in December, which makes sense with all of those holiday cookies. But butter really finds its way onto the holiday table in all sorts of different ways.
This has been wonderful, Haley. Thank you so much for the time today. Really do appreciate it. Know how busy you are. Where are you going to be next?
I am all over the place this week talking about Wisconsin butter. I'm in Madison and Milwaukee and La Crosse and Eau Claire this week. And then I am looking forward to doing some traveling on the personal side to visit family I have all across the state. So I'll be bouncing back and forth between Oconomowoc and La Crosse and Eau Claire throughout the holiday season to visit my own family. And then after that, heading into the new year, I'm actually really excited. We are opening applications for the 78th Alice in Dairyland. Those will be opening on January 2nd. And so I'm really excited to be seeing who is interested in becoming Alice in Dairyland next year.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I think this is my year, Haley. I think this is, no, I'm kidding. We encourage you to check that out and looking forward to seeing all the contestants and everything. Wishing you safe travels throughout this holiday season and throughout all your travels, Haley. And thank you so much for joining us. To you and yours, have a great set of holidays and a happy new year.
You too. Thank you so much.
And Haley, if people want to find out more information, how can they reach you? How can they find out more?
The best way to reach me is at the Alice in Dairyland website at aliceindairyland.com. Stay tuned. There'll be a lot more information there about applying to become Alice if that's something you're interested in. Otherwise, if you want me to come visit an event or classroom, there's some great forms on there to fill out. Otherwise, if you want to stay up on the day-to-day of what I'm up to, you can head to Facebook and Instagram at Alice in Dairyland. I'm posting all the time.
Thanks for the time, Haley. You take care.
You as well. Thank you.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up right here. And all week long here, we're going to be having some great guests joining us on Midday Magazine. Be sure to be with us from 4 to 5 all week long. Tomorrow on Tuesday, we have the Wisconsin Rapids Parks and Recs Department. Dawn's going to be joining us. In part 2, we're going to hang out with Terry Johns from the United Way. On Wednesday, Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Matt Zacher will be joining us along with our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. And we'll spend part 2 with the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center. Thursday, we're going to visit Rome with Jillian and have some fun with that. And our friends from UW Extension, Laura Huber, 4-H program coordinator, are going to be with us in part 2. And then we wrap up the week on Friday at 4 o'clock in part 1 with Wisconsin State Senator Patrick Teston. And in part 2, we're talking Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools with Ron Rasmussen. All week long, join us 4 to 5 right here on Midday Magazine.
Guess what, Mrs. C?
What, Santa?
We are ready. The Santa room is finally open. Oh, boy. The Santa Claus has really set it up nice this year. What do you think, Mrs. C?
Oh, it's so warm and cozy and welcoming.
What do you think, Mr. Jangles?
It's better than your old room.
All the kids and the families can come now and they can take free pictures with Santa.
Bring your own camera, cell phone. Take as many pictures as you like.
And it's all free.
Yes.
Well, how do they find out about us?
Go to our Facebook page, Santa Central Wisconsin.
And they can book a time to come see us?
Yes, definitely. And pets, too.
Think the cookies are really good.
Now, we only have so many cookies and you can't eat them all.
Too late.
Mr. Jingle.
I'll have to make some more then.
Our head off. We need to retire him.
I'm already retired.
Oh, okay. Make sure you come check with us, set up a time, and come and see us.
We're ready. Santa Central Wisconsin.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Merry Christmas.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Kevin the Cat, Chapter 1. Once upon a time, in a bustling county shelter filled with the sounds of barks, meows, and the occasional chirp, there lived a very special cat named Kevin. Kevin wasn't just any cat. He was a unique and charming feline with a story that tugged at the heartstrings of everyone who met him. He had been at the shelter for 4 long months, waiting patiently for his forever home. Kevin was a striking cat with a mostly black coat that gleamed like polished onyx under the shelter's fluorescent lights. His legs, chest, and belly were a contrasting snowy white, making him look like he was wearing a tuxedo. But the most captivating feature of Kevin were his eyes. They were the color of amber, warm and inviting, like the glow of a sunset. And then there was his ear, the one that had given him the nickname, Cauliflower-Eared Cat. It was crinkled and folded in a way that set him apart from the other cats. No one at the shelter knew how his ear had been hurt, but one of the veterinarians remarked that it added to his charm, making him look both rugged and handsome. Despite his unique appearance and affectionate nature, Kevin had a tough time finding a home. Many families who visited the shelter were drawn to him because of his gentle purrs and the way he nuzzled against their chest when they picked him up. But there was a catch. Kevin didn't get along with other animals. Whenever he was let out of his cage for his daily exercise, he would walk up to the other cats' cages and start hissing and swatting. The shelter staff believed that Kevin's distrust of other cats stemmed from a difficult past. It was likely that when he had been lost from his home, he had encountered wild cats who weren't too friendly. These encounters had left Kevin wary and defensive. Kevin's hope for a new home was kept alive by his favorite person at the shelter, a kind and gentle volunteer named Shelley. Shelley had a special way with animals, and she always made Kevin feel loved and important. She would spend extra time with him, brushing his fur and talking to him in a soothing voice. Kevin adored these moments, and he would purr and chirp contentedly, feeling safe and cherished. However, there was one curious thing about Shelley. She called him Dante. Kevin didn't mind, but he often wondered if she knew his real name was Kevin. Every day, Kevin watched as families came and went, taking other cats home but leaving him behind. He tried to be on his best behavior, rubbing against the bars of his cage and meowing softly, hoping to catch someone's attention. But when other cats were around, his anxiety would get the best of him, and he would start to act out. The shelter staff understood his behavior, and they didn't hold it against him, but they knew it made it harder for him to find a home. One sunny afternoon, a family came into the shelter looking for a new feline friend. They had a little girl named Emma, who was around 8 years old, with bright blue eyes and a smile that could light up a room. As they walked through the rows of cages, Emma stopped in front of Kevin's cage.
"Look, Mommy, this kitty is so pretty," she exclaimed, her eyes wide with excitement.
Kevin, sensing her gentle spirit, walked up to the bars and rubbed his head against them, giving her his special chirps. Emma giggled and reached out to pet him. Kevin's amber eyes met hers, and for a moment, it seemed like he had found his match. Emma's mother, Mrs. Johnson, asked the shelter staff about Kevin, and they explained his situation, how affectionate he was with other people, but how he didn't get along with other animals. Emma wasn't paying attention while her mom talked with the other people in the room. She spent the time petting Kevin and telling him how pretty he was and how she wanted to show him her house. Pretty soon her mom came over to the cage. Mrs. Johnson knelt down to Emma's level and gently explained, "Sweetheart, this kitty is very special, but he needs a home where he can be the only pet. We can't bring Dante home because he won't get along with Whiskers. I'm so sorry, sweetie, but it was Whiskers' home first and he deserves a friend." Emma's face fell, and she looked sadly at Kevin.
"I'm sorry, kitty,"
she whispered before moving on to look at other cats. Kevin watched them go, feeling a pang of disappointment. It seemed like every time he got close to finding a home, something got in the way. He returned to his spot in the cage, curling up and closing his eyes. He was trying to hold on to the hope that his person was still out there, and that they would know his name was Kevin. The next day, something different happened. A tall, quiet man entered the shelter. He had kind eyes and a gentle demeanor. This man was friends with Shelley, and she had told him about Dante, the cauliflower-eared cat. Shelley thought that they could maybe be good friends and keep each other company. The man had been feeling lonely and decided to visit the shelter to meet Dante. Shelley greeted him with a warm smile. I'm so glad you came, Ron. Let me introduce you to Dante. She led him to Kevin's cage, where the black and white cat lay. As soon as Kevin saw Shelley, he perked up, his amber eyes shining with recognition and affection. This is Dante, Shelley said softly, opening the cage door. Kevin stepped out gracefully and walked up to Ron, looking at him with curious eyes. Ron knelt down and gently petted Kevin's head. Hello, Dante, he said with a smile. Then his expression changed. Wait, he said. That's not your name. Your name is Kevin, the cat. I've heard a lot about you. Kevin chirped his happiest chirp. This human knew his name. Kevin leaned into Ron's chest and nuzzled under his chin. He could sense the kindness in this man and felt an immediate connection. Ron looked at Shelley and said, I think Kevin the cat is going to be my good buddy and pal. Kevin's heart swelled with happiness. Finally, he found his person, someone who understood him and would give him the love and attention he craved. Plus, the man knew his real name. Kevin nuzzled the man's hand, feeling a sense of contentment he hadn't felt in a long time. As Ron completed the adoption paperwork, Shelley looked on with tears of joy in her eyes. She knew Kevin was going to a good home where he would be cherished. You're going to miss him, aren't you? Ron asked Shelley as he picked up Kevin, now nestled comfortably in his arms. Shelley nodded, wiping away a tear. I will, but I'm so happy for him. And who knows? Maybe I'll see him again, since we're friends. Kevin looked up at Ron and thought, this is my human. He felt a surge of happiness, knowing he would no longer have to compete with other cats for attention. He would have this man all to himself, and that's exactly what he wanted. As they left the shelter, Kevin looked back one last time at Shelley, giving her a final glance with his amber eyes. He knew he would miss her, but he was ready for his new adventure with his human. Kevin the cat was finally going home, where he would be the center of attention and showered with all the love he deserved. And who knows, maybe he would see Shelley again someday, and they could reminisce about the days at the shelter. In his new home, Kevin, now happily called Kevin the Cat, flourished. He had his own cozy bed by the window where he could watch the birds outside. Ron spent hours playing with him, brushing his fur and talking to him in a soothing voice. The days of feeling anxious and defensive were behind him. He had found his place and he was happy. And so, Kevin the cauliflower-eared cat, who had waited patiently for 4 months, finally found his forever home. His journey had been long and challenging, but it was worth every moment. Kevin's story reminds us that even when things seem tough, there is always hope for a better tomorrow. And sometimes, all it takes is one special person to change everything. Thank you for joining us for Community Stories Junior. I'm your host, Melissa Kay. Join us again next week for more stories from young people in your community.
Did you know that our Pet of the Week show on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR has helped over 100 animals find their forever homes by connecting with listeners? This is only made possible due to local area businesses, and we hope to help 100 more. Listen to 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR Pet of the Week on Thursdays at 9 AM and find that special friend you've been looking for, or learn how you can help with current needs. Made possible by sponsors like you, who help keep this program running for all of the animals in this community.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. We have an update on the shooting in Madison. Three people are dead, including the suspected shooter. The shooter was a teenage student at Abundant Life Christian School in Madison. Police are not releasing any other information about the shooter at this time. A teacher and a teenage student are also among those who have died today. Six other people are injured, and two of those are students who are currently in critical condition in area hospitals. The four other students are at area hospitals with non-life-threatening injuries. Madison Police Chief Barnes said these are only the physical injuries and there will be other injuries facing those involved and the community for a long time after the shooting. As a former teacher, Chief Barnes said teaching was one of his greatest joys before becoming a police officer.
And I can tell you what a special place our schools are. With that being said, we owe it to our community to do everything possible to ensure that it's not only a special place, but a safe place as well. And we're going to continue to do that. So we ask for your patience as information is coming in. We will do the best that we can to bring you accurate and timely information, but we want to make sure that our public knows that we're working extremely hard on this particular incident.
We will continue to update as events unfold in Madison. The Marshfield Police Department has issued an update on the discovery of human remains in a field near West McMillan Street, near North St. Joseph's Avenue in the city of Marshfield. The deceased, who died on December 7th, has been identified as Muhammad Naqib Zubar, age 35, from Southern California. The cause of death has not yet been determined. However, there is no reason to suspect foul play, nor is there any evidence that there's risk to the community. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Zombie fans will be excited to learn that the third installment of Danny Boyle's 28 Days Later franchise is just around the corner. The film is called 28 Years Later and stars Aaron Taylor Johnson and Ralph Fiennes. Boyle returns to the director's chair for this film after executive producing the second installment of the franchise 28 weeks later. Ben Stiller can be downright rude, at least when he's playing Hal, the role he is playing again in Happy Gilmore 2 with Adam Sandler. In an interview with Yahoo News, Stiller said about his character, "He's just so mean and he just hates Happy so much. You don't have to worry about having any redeeming qualities or being likable," which is great. For whatever reason, the plot for Happy 2 is being kept completely under wraps. Shooting for the film has been completed and a tentative release date is set for July 2025 on Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight to a low in the mid-20s. A cloudy sky for tomorrow with snow showers in the late afternoon and evening. Highs in the low 30s. Mostly cloudy and mid-20s for highs Wednesday. More snow showers Wednesday night and Thursday. Currently, it's 37.
Shh, do you want to hear a secret? You have to keep it between us. The Wisconsin Broadcasters Association is currently accepting nominations for the WBA Local Broadcast Legends Award. We'd like your help in nominating one of our community's best, Pamela Hilke. Here's where you come in. If you or someone you know is directly affected by the work Pam has done at WFHR over the last 47 years, send an email describing the reasons you want to nominate Pam to Laura Berg, Laura.Berg at civicmedia.us. And thank you for keeping this our little secret.
It's the center of the Kringle-making world. Racine County wears the crown, and bakers like those at O&H create more than 10,000 of the delicate oval-shaped pastry every single day.
Just a great pastry. One that's hard to make, though. Hard to replicate.
Peter Olison is a third-generation owner. O&H is celebrating its 75th year. But do you know if Wisconsin considers the Kringle our official pastry? The answer coming up.
The 500-square-foot corner bakery to offer in our products by mail.
Baker Mike Massanellis says their Kringle is shipped near and far. The tradition began when the Danes came to Racine in the late 1800s. And it is that past and present which created our official state pastry, the Kringle, in 2013. And it's a you-can't-have-just-one-slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pete Schwabe. On the next Nightlight, I welcome talent manager and actress Heather Arndt and Appleton-based comedian Rob Brackenridge, who drops by the studio for some laughs. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Monday, December 16th, 2024. I have your host, James J. Maloff, here, and welcoming into the studio our good friend, Amy Vetter, CSW Resource Specialist with our Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin. Amy, good to have you with us.
Hi, James. Good to be here.
We have a great topic for us today. I want to dive right into this one, especially with how busy everything is over there. But I do want to send a big shout out to you and the team at the ADRC and the great work that you guys are doing. Appreciate you.
Thank you very much.
What do we do when loved ones start showing signs of needing help at home? This is a topic that this time of year, I actually think is tough and awkward as this might be to dive into. Mm-hmm. What better time of year than right now to be able to bring these things in? What with the wrapping up of the year and looking for a new one, and even being able to be around relatives, maybe you're not around all the time. And when I say bringing this up, it may not even be bringing it up with the individuals that you need to talk to about it, but maybe just getting some, hey, when you talk to your loved ones about this, how did you do it? Mm-hmm. Getting some ideas, spitballing, that kind of thing. So the topic itself, I feel like, is tailor-made for this time of year in many ways.
Mm-hmm. So, and this is typically when we get a lot of referrals from family members that are visiting with loved ones they haven't seen in quite a while. And oftentimes, relatives are seeing each other for the first time, and then they're having that conversation about those aging loved ones that they haven't had. Mm-hmm. And so I thought it would be a good idea to kind of talk about some things to help open that conversation up. So if we want to just get right into it.
Sure.
So, you know, when we have our loved ones living at home in the community, you know, it's important that they be able to maintain that independence, because that is really important for them. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, you know, our first thought is, you know, assisted living right away. Mm-hmm. You know, they can't live alone anymore. You know, mm-hmm. they're too old. And that's really not the case. Mm-hmm. You know, and assisted living facilities are wonderful, but they're very expensive. And, you know, there are some things that you can do to make it safe for them at home. Mm-hmm. So
let's get into that, Amy, because mm-hmm. I think that that's certainly the first option for the majority of people. Mm-hmm. And I think that for a lot of us, too, as we're getting older and we think about these things more, maybe for the first time, it's one of the first thoughts you have is, oh, well, I want my independence as long as possible. And I think when you walk into this subject, whether it's for yourself or for your loved ones, with that respect, not to say you can't go wrong, but it's a great start. It's mm-hmm. a great place to begin of, hey, I want dignity in this world. I imagine my loved ones, I imagine mm-hmm. my parents, my uncles, or whoever it might be, they would want the same thing. Having that empathy to begin with going into this is such a great way to start.
Exactly. And you want to keep in mind what they want for themselves, too. You know, you are considering what you think is best, but it may not be what they want for themselves. Mm-hmm. So one thing that I think is important to do is just when you think about their home and how it's set up. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times there may be some knickknacks mm-hmm. and, you know, stuff that has accumulated over the years that can actually become more of a hazard to their safety.
Yeah.
Like throw rugs, they can be a huge fall risk. Just removing those would help make things a lot safer with mobility.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe considering adding some grab bars into the shower. And speaking of grab bars, I know some people see those suction cup grab bars for the shower and they think, oh, this would be just an easy, quick fix, but they're not the safest option. You know, they may work temporarily, but those suction cups are not a guarantee. Mm-hmm. So if you can get the kind that screw into the wall, mm-hmm. that's going to be the safest. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a towel bar, that's meant to hold a towel, not the weight of a person. So that's something to keep in mind. There are different types of adaptive equipment, like a shower chair or a tub bench that can sit outside of the bathtub that someone can slide across. You know, maybe rearranging some furniture so that it allows for safer pathways in the home. You know, moving foods in the kitchen down to lower shelves, mm-hmm. just rearranging some things so that it's more accessible, so there's less bending and reaching.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times there's a washer and dryer in the basement. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that can be a difficult thing because where do we move it to? Mm-hmm. But moving it to the main level of the home, that can be a huge safety you know, risk if it's still in the basement. So relocating that to the main level.
These are all incredibly good notes, things that I know for me, being around this subject a lot in the last 10 years or so, things I had not really even considered and I thought was quite interesting. I am a little curious, Amy, do you have a list for Italians? Do you have, because my family is Italian. And
we've talked about this before.
Yes, we have. Yep. Yes. But with that, and I say that jokingly, because all families really have family members that want to hang on to their independence, that want to hang on to having their place. And I bring up the Italian thing in part because one of the first thoughts I had was, well, I remember some of my earliest memories of being in the kitchen with my Nana and me. And the reason I was in there is because I was tall and I could grab things on high shelves. Sure. It was part of my job. And I loved this job. But I think back and I'm like, man, I bet my Nana would have loved to have had these things a little lower. Mm-hmm. And while she, you know, loved having me in the kitchen and everything, wasn't a big kitchen, probably could have used the room.
Yeah.
And it got my brain just on this rabbit hole of all these different things that my Nana and Papa, you know, they did to kind of like keep their independence as long as they could. They had a, the whole reason we're here in this town, in this area, is because my grandparents retired in Rome. And they had a beautiful house.
Italy
good question, good question. Right here in Rome, Wisconsin, and right on Lake Camelot.
Sure.
And a beautiful house that they loved, and they planned on spending it the rest of their lives in. Mm-hmm. But as they got older and they realized, well, we got two floors. That's not going to work for us.
Right.
So they ended up selling their dream home, essentially, to have a one-floor home just to have independence for another 8-10 years, I think it was, or whatever. Going to these extremes just to hang on to that independence a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. I see that for a lot of people. Here's some things you can do to kind of like as you're going along, and even as you're – you don't have to wait until you're 65.
Right. And there are things you can do that maybe – you're still independent. You're still able to do things, but making small changes now before it's necessary. So, you know, and you bring up your family. Well, I have come from a German family, and it makes me think of my grandmother. She's back in the Chicago area still, and she's very independent. And, you know, but she has some things in her basement still that, you know, we really want to move upstairs, but it's a challenge figuring out where to go with it. You know, she's got her washer and dryer downstairs. And so, you know, determining where to put that. And in some situations, there's really nowhere you can go with it. And if that's the case, there are in-home caregiver agencies. You know, there is a cost to those, but you can pay to have someone come in and help with things like laundry, just housekeeping and chores, running errands for you, things like that. Yeah.
With the cost that assisted living facilities can cost and everything, this could be the more affordable option for many.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's a great note, too, about looking into those services, looking into grocery and meal delivery services as well. I believe you guys know a little something about that, too.
Yes. I mean, we do have our Meals on Wheels program, of course, so we can deliver meals through during the week to individuals who are eligible. And, you know, there are more delivery services available now than have been in the past. You know, a lot of grocery stores in the area will deliver groceries directly to your door. And so that has been a really beneficial service for a lot of the customers that we have worked with. And, you know, when it comes to, you know, socialization, that's a big thing, too, when it comes to our aging population in the community.
Yeah.
So we also have not just the home delivered meals, but we do have a congregate meal during the week at the senior center, which there are transportation programs that can get you to the senior center. So you can enjoy that camaraderie with other individuals, get your lunch and meal and get some socialization in. Get out of the house for a little bit and then get home safely too.
Yeah. There are a lot more resources, I think, available than most know, in part because of what you were saying there. Like I help with my parents now, but before that, helping with my papa a little bit.
Sure.
And that was probably 7-8 years ago, maybe. And some of these things weren't available then. So just in the short amount of time that this has grown and there are so many more options available, some of them weren't necessarily designed for this, but they're usable for this.
Right.
You know, there's no age limit on DoorDash or something, you know, some of these services.
Right.
And so many other organizations have really stepped up mm-hmm. when it comes to this subject. So it's something to keep sure. in mind, especially the people that may be new to the topic.
Mm-hmm. And when it comes to like grocery delivery and meal delivery services, you can set those up from anywhere in the country. Yeah. So, you know, if you live out of state, but you're concerned about your elderly parents that live here getting groceries or getting meals, you can have things delivered directly to them, no matter where you're living. So that's always a bonus.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Amy Vetter from the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin. Another thing that can help people stay in their home a little bit longer, have that independence a little bit longer, is in-home caregiving agencies. Mm-hmm. We have a number of those as well.
We do. And I can't really name names here, but we do have a list on our website, mm-hmm. Which James will give at the end of this segment.
Yeah.
And then we also have our resource directory, which will be updated soon for 2025. You can access that directory on our website as well. And we do have paper copies throughout the community. But again, we still have 2024 available. 2025 will be out soon. Okay. And which that directory also has a wealth of information for you, which is wonderful to utilize when you're having these conversations with your family members. Because other things to consider to keep in mind when you're thinking about services that would be beneficial to your aging loved ones that are still living in home in the community. Mm-hmm. You know, another thing I would like to mention is a Lifeline or that medical alert button. I think we're all familiar with that commercial, "I've fallen and I can't get up."
Yes.
Well, they've come a long way since then. Mm-hmm. So you can wear it as a necklace. It can be a bracelet. But if you have concerns about the safety of your loved ones in the home, if they have been having falls, if they're a fall risk, mm-hmm. you know, that button can be easily pressed and it can alert emergency services. You can set it up where it can alert you first, mm-hmm. so you can make sure that it's appropriate mm-hmm. to contact emergency services. And some do have GPS available if there is a concern with dementia and wandering as well. And there are actually some cell phones now have mm-hmm. automatic sensors that if there is a fall, your phone can actually automatically contact 911 and emergency
wild.
Services
yeah.
and certain watches, too.
Yeah, it's
so there's a lot
resources.
Of technology out there.
And all these things, and I feel like also while we're having this conversation and the ADRC is up to date on all these things, and you guys have done such great homework on this, by the end of the week, there might even be more services.
Right.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
We're seeing a lot of businesses, a lot of and things going into this industry and mm-hmm. trying to make it that much stronger and better. And that not only speaks to me on a personal level, on an empathetic mm-hmm. level, but also on a level of, hey, this is something that, again, you don't have to wait until you're in your 60s to start going towards.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I really wanted to make sure to mention, and you touched on this too, there's some great classes available mm-hmm. with the ADRC, and just taking a look at preventing falls.
Yep.
Something like that. You don't have to wait until you're worried about the falls to take a class mm-hmm. like that. And the earlier you prep on these things, maybe the longer your body can, you know, hang with you mm-hmm. and you can be independent a little bit longer if you get in on these early.
Yep. So, and you keep mentioning 60s. 60s are the new 40s.
Really are.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but we do offer like stepping on classes, they're called. And so that is over a course of several weeks where you can learn different tips and tricks and how to prevent falls and different measures you can take to be safer in the home. We also, you know, if you are a caregiver and, you know, you are caring for your loved one in the home, that they can give you some tools mm-hmm. on how to, you know, make sure you're taking care of yourself to mm-hmm. prevent that caregiver burnout. We have support groups as well. We have groups for families that are struggling with family members that have dementia. We have a lot of different programs and groups within the ADRC. But then here in Rapids, we also have the Senior Center. That has a lot of different activities and socialization options because loneliness can also be a very big issue with when it comes to seniors that are living in the community that are still pretty active, but just really feel more isolated. And that can happen when family moves away and, you know, they stay connected, you know, via electronics, but, you know, they don't have that day to day. So things that happen at the Lowell Center or the Senior Center, as a lot of people know it, there's bingo, there's different exercise classes. You always know when it's bingo because the parking lot is packed.
It always is. Always. Yeah, yeah. There are so many wonderful classes, events, and different things going on there. And certainly the conversation itself is something, too, that can be not only interesting to get into, but interesting for all parties and everything. Yes. And I think that's an important thing to keep in mind when you're walking into this subject. When we talk about these events and the different classes and different things going on, these could be that segue into this. Hey, we should go show up for this. Let's have some bingo. Let's have, go have fun at bingo and everything. And while you're driving over there, you talk about it. The moments to bring these up. We're always so many times where I remember my dad talking about this with my grandparents. I was just waiting for the right moment, and that moment doesn't come. Sometimes you have to create that moment, and the ADRC can help you do that. Whether it is how do I get into this topic, or the events they have going on and them being kind of a segue into these. Just having this open conversation with a loved one goes so far. One other thing I real quick want to mention too is when you get into the conversation, it doesn't mean you have to solve everything and right in that one conversation. This could be an ongoing thing that you just get the ball rolling with.
And it's important to remember that this is a conversation that you have with them. It's not... You have to make sure that you're making decisions with your family, with those individuals. And while you may think that this is what's best for your mom or dad or your grandpa or your aunt or your uncle, it may not be what they want. And so sometimes we have to accept the fact that what they decide they want to do with their lives may not be what is best for them, in our opinion. It's what they want. And
when it comes to some of these things that we've talked about today, I've got a bit of experience with some of them. And one of the things that I've learned, not just from my own experience, but talking to my friends that have been in similar things with their parents or loved ones, just like as an example, the one of the bigger ones in my family was when I'm trying to help my parents and caregive for them was putting up in the bathroom the bars and having those set up. And that for a lot of people, as you touched on, can be a bit of a this is a sign. I can't hide my age anymore, any of these things and stuff. And especially with somebody like my father, which I love, and I would not trade him for anything in the world, but my God, sometimes. and with this one in particular, it was one of those ones where we're banging our head against each other, the wall here about this and everything. What we finally got to with him about it is his grandkids.
Yep.
And him wanting to be in good shape for them and everything, and the idea of this helping that. My papa served in World War II, fought in the Korean War. I look at him and I'm like, "Do you want a shower to take you out?" And right away that clicked for him, and he was like, "Well, yeah, no, I don't," and stuff. And I don't mean to be blunt or unromantic with any of this, but when we're talking about getting,
you have to be
sometimes, and all of these conversations are you know meant to be heartfelt. I think if you go into them with that in mind and such a strong point that you bring up about what they want and listening to them, you almost can't go wrong if you go in with those factors.
Right. And, you know, this is a conversation that, you know, we at the ADRC can, we'd be happy to sit down and have a meeting, you know, either at our office, we can come to your home and just have a general talk about what's called options counseling. So we can just sit down and have an open conversation about different resources, services, programs that may be available. Doesn't have to be right now, but in preparation for the future. And just make some suggestions, recommendations, and we can help get that conversation started.
It's and that's such a tough part for some. Mm-hmm. I take it a little for granted sometimes how open my family and I are about talking. Understand that some out there wouldn't even know where to begin to get just to get the ball rolling on this subject. You guys are tailor-made for this. You know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. This is your wheelhouse. Reaching out to the EDRC with those kind of questions are really helpful, and we encourage you to do so. And there's so many other great things going on over there. When you're listening to this, and maybe this subject and the things we've talked about don't affect you, but they can impact you. And that you can impact them. One of the main things that I want to recommend anytime we are with the EDRC is Meals on Wheels and being involved in volunteering with the EDRC.
Yes.
And there's a lot of different ways you can do that, and you can find out more at adrc-cw.org, adrc-cw.org. That is their website. Be sure to bookmark that. Keep up to date on everything they are doing over there. There's also their social media page. Encourage you to follow along on those as well. And Amy, if people have follow-up questions, want to know more about some of what we talked about today and reach you specifically, can they do that, or should we just give them the website? Or?
They can call the 800 number. That's cool. Available on our website as well. And just listen to the menu. You can be connected with a resource specialist like myself. There's also benefit specialists, and we have a nutrition line as well that you can ask questions specific to our Meals on Wheels program and our congregate meals and our caregiver programs too. So, but when in doubt, just talk to a support staff and they will connect you with who you need to speak to.
That number is 1-888-486-9545. That's 888-486-9545. And if you missed that number, you can catch it at their website, adrc-cw.org. And be sure to follow them on social media. Amy, we always have a great time talking with you. Thank you so much for the time. A happy holidays to you and yours. Happy New Year's. All the above.
You too. Have a great holiday season.
Thanks for joining us. And thank you for joining us, everybody. We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Jeffrey from Madison.
I worked for the city of Madison for 34 years. Act 10 cost me $42,000.
Yep.
In 1977, the state of Wisconsin passed a law that says public employees cannot strike. With Act 10, now we can't bargain for working conditions and benefits, so they basically turned public employees into second-class citizens.
Yes.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Here's why I'm glad I don't work in an office. My wife is always talking about, she's a teacher. They put donuts in the teacher's lounge, there's sweets, there's snacks. It wasn't that way here today, but Nikki keeps those Biscoff cookies out there. I probably ate 12 of those today. The phrase "you are what you eat" is very true, because I was sitting in the office earlier prepping the show and I felt kind of doughy and I'm like, I feel like a Biscoff cookie.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Locally grown radio, WFHR. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Our old friend Trigvi Olsen in the guest host chair. And if I make it back in time, I'll join you live as well. Be there.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and like newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no healthcare policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on this Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Luke Matheris, you let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. It was me. After about 15 minutes, I go out there and I'm like, what is this mound? An opossum playing dead in the middle of the yard. I'm out there kind of hollering, like trying to corral the dogs. And then we finally got Aurora to come in the house, stepped away for a little bit, came back and was gone. I really hope that it remembers this traumatic experience and never comes back in my yard again.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
CBS News Brief. There's been another school shooting, this time in Madison, Wisconsin. A teacher and student are dead, along with the suspect.
We know that the suspect shooter was a teenage student who attended the school.
Six others were injured to have life-threatening injuries. The White House said a short time ago none of the drone sightings to date has been a safety threat. Donald Trump questioned why the administration hasn't been more forthcoming.
And for some reason, they don't want to comment. And I think they'd be better off saying what it is. Our military knows and our president knows. And for some reason, they want to keep people in suspense.
Luigi Mangione could be back in New York very soon to face charges in the killing of the United Healthcare CEO. CBS's Anna Schechter.
Already he's been charged with second-degree murder, but we're told that we could expect to see a first-degree murder charge come down based on all the evidence.
CBS News Brief. I'm Cammie McCormick.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from